Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this first Sunday in Advent is the New Testament reading, that revelation that was given to St. John, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now we'll read portions of it as we go, but this is the word of the Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to have something pointed out to us before we forget, before we try to build and settle down. We cannot make a place for ourselves here. No abiding home, no homeland, no, not here. As much American as we are not. We don't live in a land flowing with milk and honey. America is not the promised land, even at its height, even at its best. All that we have or can have is passing away. But we do want to do this. We want to settle down, to have it all now, to not to have to wait. It's like Advent, like how too many treat it as the beginning of Christmas. It is not. If you want more Christmas, add it to the end, not to the beginning. That is the way it used to be. You've heard of the 12 days of Christmas. Well, that starts December 25th. You see, we need this time, Advent, this part of the church year, to be prepared, to be reminded of, so that we are prepared for his coming, the second Advent, his second coming, to bring us to our true home, to our lasting place of rest, to a real and lasting Christmastide. Until then, though, not until then. And for now we live in the desert, the wilderness, the place of trial, trouble, discipline, and unrest. The place of preparation, the time for training in righteousness. This vision of St. John shows us where the church is, where we are located. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished. It is here, in the wilderness, that place of pilgrimage, the very place where we are fed on field rations, the place of training, of waiting, that we, if we are God's church, have to be. But it is the place prepared by God himself for us. And so we need to stop looking longingly back to Egypt, as Israel kept looking, kept doing when they were trekking toward Canaan. So strange and faithless we are, wanting a slavery that we have left behind instead of what promised, that promised place of freedom that is truly flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the church does its own share of looking back over her shoulder, longing for what the world has or seems to have. But it is the desert where God came and dwelled with his people. He is here for us too. It is the place where Moses was given the law. It was the place where he saw the worship in heaven and copied down what we are to do here on earth. This was seen by Ezekiel too. And then St. John in the Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, showing us how we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. As Jesus said, the Father wants to be worshipped. No, not the way the world would do it. Not the way certain churches think they will attract people to be like the world. No, we worship the way we do because this is how we have always done it. The way of our true homeland. We need to mimic heaven, not this world and its ways. We need to do what we have been given to do. We need to be who we are called to be. We are strangers in a strange land, heading for home. And along the way, we are called to gather as many pilgrims as we can. And not by being like them, but by being different. By showing them a different way, God's things. By speaking God's words. By being a sanctuary when they need it most. How can we be like this if we do not do what we're meant to do, if we do what the world does? How if we judge as the world does? How if we offer nothing but what they can get and it's always better out there? We can't compete with that. What they can get in the world, they'll not want what we can try as we try to mimic those things. No, we cannot compete with them. And we need to stop grumbling then also about the field provisions, the living conditions, as the Old Testament church did, and God was angry with them. We need to stop measuring our condition by how an organization of the world would do it. Did you know that Jesus says we are strong when we are weak? That we are at our best when we look least like the best this world could offer? That we are successful when, if the world would do it, it would be a certain failure? We need to stop trying to make heaven here. We need to stop thinking we can have heaven on earth now, here before His time. We are just not ready yet. The Israelites grumbled against God and Moses. The disciples did so against Jesus. The church has, in her history, done the same. It is not like He has not heard it before. Are we there yet? No, says Jesus. In the meantime, we have our marching orders. Let's be about that and stop looking over our shoulders. Don't you know what happened in the desert? Moses talked to God in the desert. Jesus fought the devil in the desert and died outside the city. St. John had his revelation, vision, in exile. All of this, yes, in the midst of seeming failure, that is when we have actual victory. God always does it this way. It cannot or ever will be any other way. We have to stop listening to the devil's tempting suggestions to do things differently. We need to stop pining that if it could be different, that if it could be different and better, if only it was. No, said Jesus. We are a church on the move. Don't you know that both the Old and New Testament churches were actually established like this? In exile, on the run, in hiding, illegal, with enemies all around, few in number, hated by the world in all its ways and organizations. Yes, we are a church in exile and not home yet. But we have all we need to get us through, to get us home. We have Him. We have His food, manna from heaven, Jesus' very own flesh. We have His drink, His water from the rock of Christ, from His very own side, as well as His blood to transfuse our battle-beaten, bloodied bodies. We have His word, so we know what He is saying. We know the way, where to go, and how and what to do along the way. And so, yes, we have Him right here in the midst of us. If you want the true God, if you want the real Jesus, you have to be in the desert that seemingly God-forsaken place. But it isn't. Because he is here. His own things are here. He is with us and will never leave us. And you must trust, you must believe, you must rest in the fact, that knowledge that where he is leading us, that nothing back in the world can even touch, can even in the slightest way compare to his promised land, where we're going. That is what he has won for us in his death and resurrection. That is what we are celebrating along the way. His way, his life, his truth. For sure victory over death, sin, and the devil. Can the world ever say that? Not a chance. What do they call a sure thing? Death and taxes. Jesus has already conquered death. It no longer can hold us in the grave also because it could not hold him. And we are in him and he in us, every last believing, baptized child of God. And taxes? He has already paid them for us in full. All that is left is our packing and the sending of invitations. So let's invite. Yes, come with us, one and all, come. Where? We are going home. Jesus is here to take us. Yes, your fare is paid for as well. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.